Welcome to your Limitless Life broadcast. This is Pastor James Moffitt, Senior Pastor of Church Unlimited from Indio, California. And we're so glad that you are able to join us tonight. We're really excited. And we pray that you're excited as well. We pray you've been blessed by these broadcasts. And if you would do us a favor for those that are getting on right now, if you can just put in the comment section what city you're at and that you are watching, we would really love to see you there. We will be doing our best. God bless you, Sister Valerie, to interact with you. And that's a great part about this program, and that's our heart, is that while we are sharing this broadcast, that you are able to comment live in real time, and that we're able to actually see you, whether or not you're on Facebook or YouTube, either one, and we're able to see you real time, and we know whether or not you're watching or not. And if you have any questions concerning the Bible, concerning the subject matter that we are speaking on, or anything that is on your heart, we also, at the end of the program, will give you time to ask any questions. But while we're talking about the subject that God has placed upon our heart for that night that we are broadcasting, feel free during the broadcast to comment or to ask a question about anything that we are talking about currently as well. And if you have not done it already, please subscribe, like, and share. And we were looking to try to get 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, and the reason why is because just recently they had passed, or they had put in, implemented a new rule that you can't go on YouTube live by your phone unless you at least have 1,000 subscribers. So I know a lot of you have a lot of friends, and if you would share and ask them to subscribe, we would really appreciate that, and we would say God richly bless you. And also, if you have any prayer requests, we would love to come into agreement with you and pray with you. Jesus said there's power in agreement. He said where two or three are gathered together on earth, agreeing on anything, that it would be done of our Father in heaven. And we truly believe that. And we see, even in our church services, and we believe we're going to see miracle testimonies, even by this broadcast that we are doing right now on a weekly basis. And so if you would share your prayer requests with us, we sure would love to come into agreement with you. And we believe that God, not only according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, he's not just a prayer hearing God, but he is a prayer answering God. He said, call on me and I will answer you. Jeremiah 33:3. He said he would show us great and mighty things that we do not know. And so anything that is a concern to you is a concern to us. And we would love to come into agreement with you if you will allow us to do so. So we love you so much. Sister Abby, God bless you. Brother Larry from Ohio, we love you so much. So glad that you're watching as well. Miss you, man. And so glad that you're with us. Sister Abby, we love you. Sister Valerie, we love you so much. And we're just waiting, let's see, just a few more seconds and get some more people to join. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Nevaeh is watching too. We love you, precious. And she was singing on Sunday. We heard her singing. Praise the Lord. Well, all right. We'll go ahead and people can catch up with us. So I do want to talk about the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about moving forward. And then we've also been talking about how we have been sent by God, both of those things, and how the enemy loves through fear, doubt, and unbelief to try to stop our progress in our walk with God through, like I said, fear, doubt, and unbelief. But God says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. One of the great examples that I love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that he demonstrated to us through this example. And the Bible says, I don't know if you remember this, but the Bible says that while Jesus was actually praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was asking his disciples to watch and pray with him. He began to pour out great drops of blood. He knew what was about to come, so he wasn't caught off guard. And actually, this fits in with the subject matter that I want to talk to us about tonight. Jesus was in the garden praying, and he was pouring out. The disciples were supposed to be watching, but they had fallen asleep. Jesus got up knowing what was about to happen. Nothing caught him off guard, which is what Jeremiah 33:3 promises us. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you things that you do not know. it's the power of the Holy Spirit. So as the Lord was pouring out, obviously he got the revelation. He knew the time was come, and he went and woke his disciples up, and he says, "Come, for those that have come to, they have come to arrest me now." And this is what I love. As they showed up, Judas showed up and with those to arrest the Lord. They came with torches and weapons. But this is what the Bible said concerning Jesus. And he stepped towards them. He stepped forward to them as they came. And Jesus said, "Who have you come to arrest?" They said, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." As he did that, they fell backwards. And so that's the power that we possess. And it's not just because Jesus was Jesus, but he did everything as an example for us. And a good example of that, and I won't belabor this too long, but Peter did the same thing. You remember when Peter was around the fire, the Bible says he was following Jesus from a distance when the Lord got arrested. Around the fire, three different people asked him, "Aren't you one of them? Your speech is betraying you. I know you're one of them. I thought I saw you in the garden." And Peter couldn't even witness to three people around the campfire. But when he was in that upper room, when the day of Pentecost had fully come and the fire of God had fell, full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says Peter stepped forward and preached. And when just a few days prior, he wasn't able to witness to three around the fire, a campfire, he now full of the fire, he stepped forward and preached, and over 3,000 men were saved that day. But I love how the Bible says he stepped forward. So don't allow the enemy to paralyze you with fear, doubt, and unbelief. Push forward in the fullness of, you have the power of the Godhead that resides within you. The Bible says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you?" Now you carry that power. And Jesus says, "Behold, I've given you power," which means authority, "to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So anytime the enemy is trying to come up against you, and if he's even coming up against you now to try to stop your forward progress, step forward in the face of the enemy, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so I want to talk to us tonight. Yes, we talked about being called. Yes, we talked about moving forward. And that God is sending us. But I want to talk to us tonight about the importance of being filled. Hey, Sister Connie and Sister Monica, we love you guys so much. We miss you. Thank you for watching. So we want to talk to us tonight about being filled. God is sending us, yes, but he is not sending us alone. He is empowering us. He has empowered us, and he is going with us. And so just like I talked about with Moses in the previous couple weeks, whether or not you got to join us or not, just a short recap. The Bible says that Moses was out in the wilderness, but he saw a burning bush, turned aside to see that burning bush. And as he went to the burning bush, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Moses, Moses," called him by name. But the Lord spoke to Moses from that fire and said, "I have heard the cries of my people and have come down to deliver them from slavery." And Moses got, I'm sure at that time, got very excited. And he was like, "Yes, God, you're going to come down and do this. God, come on, God, come down. I'm going to be your biggest cheering section and go forward and deliver your people." But see, God wasn't done there. And he told Moses, I've heard and I've saw and I've come down to deliver them, but I'm sending you. And I'm not sending you though by yourself. And the Lord said, "Look, what is in your hand?" He said, "I have a rod." That rod is the symbol of God's authority. And so God didn't send Moses in to be the deliverer of God's people by himself, but he said, "I am is with you." And oftentimes, like us, you know, when God told Moses that he was sending him, Moses, the first thing that Moses said to God is, "God, I'm not the right man for the job. I don't feel equipped for this." But God, you know, reassured him again, "You're not going by yourself. I'm empowering you, and you're going to do exactly what I've called you to do." And so a similar thing happened in the New Testament with Jesus and his disciples. And I want to read this out of John chapter 20 and verse 19. John chapter 20 and verse 19. We read John 20:20 last week, but I want to start reading from John chapter 20 and verse 19 and verse 20 through 22. John chapter 20 and beginning at verse 19. Thank you, Lord. It says, "That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there amongst them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the disciples at that time, whether or not you know it or not, they were afraid and they were overwhelmed. The Bible says in the other Gospels that they were literally locked behind closed doors. The curtains were closed, if you will. I don't know if they had curtains, but the windows were shut and the doors were locked, and they were in there afraid because their world was turned upside down. They didn't know what they were doing. Everything seemed to be turned in a way opposite of how they thought it was going to go. But the Bible says suddenly Jesus appeared right in the middle of that room. He didn't have a key to the door. He didn't come in through a window, but Jesus has a way of appearing. And when you know, and that's exactly what he'll do in your life. Whenever it is that you think, you know, you're going through something, all you have to do is start, obviously be mindful of the Lord, but he knows exactly what you're going through. If you call on him, he'll show up and stand right in the middle of your situation and give you a word that is the exact opposite of probably what you're feeling. And that's what happened to the disciples. They were anxious and not knowing what to do, but Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." The Prince of Peace came and spoke peace, and I'm sure, and he said it twice to make sure that they understand. He said, "Peace be unto you." And the Bible says, John 20:20, that the Lord showed himself, 20:20 vision, he showed himself to the disciples, and the disciples, when they saw the Lord, they were very happy. Same thing with Moses. When God said, I've come down to deliver my people, Moses got happy. And I'm sure the disciples were feeling the same way that Moses was feeling. Yes, Jesus, you've come down. Now this thing is going to work out. But just like from that fire, Moses said, "Yes, I'm coming down, but I'm sending you." Jesus, in a similar way, said, "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And the Bible said that Jesus breathed on them the Ruach of God, the breath of life, just like he did with Adam in the garden. In the beginning, when he spoke the breath of life, he breathed the breath of life into Adam, the Ruach of God. He breathed on them and he said, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit," or receive the Holy Spirit. God is sending us, but he's not sending us alone. He wants to fill you and he wants to fill me. And you might be listening tonight and you might be thinking, "God is sending me. I'm barely making it myself. How am I going to be able to help anybody else when I feel like I'm on empty and I'm about to run out?" And that's a legitimate question. And this is, and if that's how you are feeling, you feel like you're burning the candle at both ends, you feel like you're run down and you don't know if you have anything to offer anybody, you're just trying to make it, you're treading water yourself. If that is you tonight, I'm so glad that you are watching. Or if you are watching and you're feeling pretty good, but you may know some people that are like this, you may be able to share this with them. And I pray it would be a blessing to them as well. And so I want to tell us this story from the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 about a woman who didn't know what to do. She didn't know where to go. She was at her wit's end. And like I said, you might be feeling that way tonight, but hold on, because God is going to speak to you right where you are. 2 Kings chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4 and beginning at verse 1. It says, "One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, 'My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves.'" What? And this is Elisha responding. "What can I do to help?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons. Shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." And so she did as she was told, and her sons kept bringing her jars, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and the olive oil stopped flowing. And like I said, this woman, this widow woman, was at her wit's end. She ran out of money. She ran out of options. The creditors were coming to take her sons away as slaves. I know some credit card companies that seem to be just like that today with all the interest rates and everything like that. You know, she was in serious, serious debt. And the Bible said that she went to the man of God and said, I need your help. When she didn't know what to do, she knew where to go. That's very important. If you're feeling like this somehow tonight, you feel like you're at your wit's end, you don't know which way to go, you may not know what to do, but you can know where to go. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus, and he will answer you. He'll be there for you, and he has the answer that you need to get you out of the situation that you might be facing tonight. Listen to what the man of God says. He says, what can I do for you? What do you have in your house? That seems backwards because it's like she came to the man of God with a need, but the man of God says, what do you have? And it's like a contrast because she's like, wait a minute, I don't have anything. You're the one that's supposed to have the answer, and that's why I'm going to you. But the man of God turned it and says, what do you have in your house? God bless you, Brother Manuel. So glad that you're able to be here with us and watching. Love you so much. And so so he said, what do you have in your house? The woman, look at this. The woman quickly responded, and at first she said, like we often do, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Are you kidding me? But then I'm glad she didn't stop there, because then she said, all I do have, hallelujah, all I do have is this little jar of oil. And the man of God said, go borrow vessels, and not a few, as many as you can. Because God doesn't like empty vessels unless they are being emptied out so that he can fill them. God is a filler, whether or not you realize it or not. And he is a filler. Like I was saying in the early example when we first got started, he created man and he filled man with his own breath, the breath of life. He blew into that man and filled that man, and that man came alive. Even before that, when he got everything ready and then placed the man in the garden, the Bible says he created the sky, filled it with birds. He created the sea and filled it with fish. God is a filler. He doesn't like anything that is empty. Like I said, unless it is first being poured out so that he could fully pour in. And so I want to read this scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23 to sort of prove my point to you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. God is a filler. God is a filler, and he's looking for yielded vessels, even tonight, and yet not a few. He's looking for yielded vessels tonight to fill, and not just to fill, but to fill to overflow. And I want us to notice the key to this whole story, that this woman could have refused to pour out her little bit, and she could have said, what are you talking about? This is all I have. She could have just, you know, in the natural, that's the only, you know, it makes sense in the natural. What do you mean pour out? This is, if she had anything, that jar of oil was the only thing in her house that was worth anything of value. And the man of God says, what do you have? Pour that out. What if she would have not poured that out? But I want us to notice, because she did, because that she poured out from her little jar, that oil kept flowing. And it kept flowing, and it kept flowing at the obedience of God, filling every vessel. See, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that your little bit isn't enough to do anything great for God. Don't let the devil lie to you to tell you that your little bit, that it may just be, I just have this little bit. Don't let the devil lie to you to tell you that your little bit can't be used to do something great for God. When you pour out your little bit, God will pour out his much. When you pour out your little bit, God will pour out his much. And I want you to remember that the oil only stopped when she stopped pouring. So the oil only stopped when she stopped pouring out. So I don't know if you know this or not, or not tonight, but oil is a type of the anointing. Oil is a type of the anointing. And the Bible says that the anointing destroys every yoke. Every yoke. When you pour out your little bit, it'll destroy everything. It'll destroy everything that's trying to come up against your life. Oil also in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. And I want to read this out of Luke chapter 24 and verse 29. Luke chapter 24 and verse 29. Or 49, I'm sorry. Luke 24, 49. Thank you, Lord. And this is Jesus speaking here. Luke 24, 49. And it says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." I'm going to read that again. "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And I want you to understand what was going on here. These disciples, like we read earlier, didn't know what to do. They gave up everything in order to follow Jesus, and now it seemed like their whole world was turned upside down and nothing seemed to be working the way that they thought it would. But Jesus told them, "Tarry in Jerusalem. Pour yourself out until the oil starts to pour. Pour yourself out until that oil starts to pour and keep on pouring." And when Peter went outside after he was filled to the overflow on the day of Pentecost, and I'm in Acts chapter 2, when he did that, I want you to notice what happened. "As the 120 that obeyed the Lord and tarried in Jerusalem and waited, they poured themselves out, everyone that was obedient, poured themselves out up in that upper room. They were there for 10 days as the Lord instructed. They continued to pour out and continued to pour out and continued to pour out until the oil began to flow. When that oil began to flow, the Bible said there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. The Ruach of God, the life of God, in the fire of God invaded that room and filled to overflow every yielded vessel that was in the house." What do you have in the house, in that upper room? Every yielded vessel was filled, and not just filled, but filled to overflow. And the sound from that upper room, as they obeyed God and they tarried and they poured themselves out, flowed into the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible said that 3,000 were brought or came around that upper room, and they were wanting to know what was going on. And now Peter, full now of the power of God, full of the oil of the Holy Ghost, stepped out, and now he began to pour out again. And the Bible says that there were 3,000 empty vessels that showed up around that upper room that day were now filled to overflow and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. 3,000 gave their life to Jesus Christ that day. Hallelujah. Another example, without getting off subject, is I don't know if you remember the wedding at Cana. Aunt Brenda, God bless you. I love you so much. Thank you for watching. And the wedding at Cana, Jesus's first miracle. If you remember, they were at that wedding and the bridegroom ran out of wine, and Jesus's mother Mary came over and told Jesus, "Do something about this. The bridegroom has run out of wine." He said, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My time has not yet come." Mary told the young men that were working at the wedding, he said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Jesus said, "Fill." There were 6 stone water pots that were standing. Each one, actually, they say held around 30 gallons of liquid or more. There were 6 of them there, 6 being the number of man. 6 of them there, and Jesus said, "Fill them with water." And then he says, when you do that, he said, "Take out of that water and go bring it to the one that was ahead that was running the wedding reception." And I want you to know that the water did not turn into wine until they began to pour it out. The water did not turn into wine until they began to pour it out. And so now I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Try to get there myself. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you might say, Pastor, I'm already filled. I'm already filled with the Holy Spirit. I've already been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But the reason why I wanted to read that, obviously, the Lord and through the Apostle Paul is telling us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, God wants to fill everything everywhere with Himself, to be full of the power of God. But the reason why I wanted to read this scripture, be not drunk with wine, that'll ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit. The literal translation of that is be being filled, which means it's a state of continual infilling. And so that's why it's important that you don't just get saved and then filled with the Holy Ghost one time, but it's a continual infilling and infilling and infilling. Be filled again and be filled again. And an example of that is Acts chapter 2. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And if you go on to read in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. And then they asked for more of the Holy Ghost. And so that by example gives us what Paul was saying here through the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be being filled. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually pour out so God will continually pour in. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. Continually pour out so that God can continually pour in. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 14 and verse 12. Praise the Lord, Brother Joe. Love you so much. Thanks for watching. God bless you. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I think I might have wrote down the wrong scripture here. That's okay. See if you guys can look up for me. The more that you have, the more will be given. If you can Google that for me, I apologize. But this is the importance of, this is what I want to say. The Lord says, to him that has been given, to him that has will be given more. And to him that did nothing with it, it'll be taken away. And this is why I was so glad that woman said, she didn't stop at, I just didn't have anything. When the prophet of God or the man of God asked her, what is it that you have in your house?
Matthew
13:12. So I wrote 14:12. Thank you so much. Let me read this here. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12. It says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. And literally, in another version, it says, to those that have, more will be given. And so this is why, like I said, when the man of God went to that widow and says, what do you have? She didn't stop at, I didn't have anything. She didn't stop, but I didn't have anything. She literally stopped where she said this. She goes, all I have is this little jar of oil. All I have is this little jar of oil. And then she began to pour it out, to pour it out, to pour it out. And you might be like that widow. And I just want to share my heart with you tonight concerning this. And this is how this thing is. The more you have, that's what I told you. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are a vessel filled with the oil of God. And this is where, and what you have, you have to pour out. If you want more, you got to pour out. You might be like that widow woman, even concerning your children. She went to the man of God concerning your children. You may be watching tonight. You may have children that are going through a lot. You may be going through a lot. You may have family members that are going through. This woman, who was a woman of God, went to the man of God as a representation of the Lord. And she said, my children, they're going to sell my children. They're going to come. The creditors are going to come, which is, you know, a representation of the devil. They're going to come and they're going to steal my children, and they're going to make them. They're going to make them slaves. And so this woman of God went to the man of God, like I said, representing God, and said, do something about this. He said, what do you have? Pour it out. And as this mother began to pour out, she began to pour out all that she had. All that she felt like she had was so little, but in the hand of God, it became much. And as she obeyed the word of the Lord for her life, concerning her life and her children and her situation, she began to pour out. And as she poured out, God poured out. When you pour out your little, God will pour out as much. Whatever you're going through, if your children are away from God and aren't serving God, continue to pour out the little bit that you got, and God will pour out as much on your situation and on your circumstance. In the same example of this, and this is why I wanted to use this woman, you may be in a financial situation. You might find yourself upside down. You don't know which way to go, and you don't see any way out of your financial situation. This woman was in the same place that you may find you may be in your finances. Don't know how to get out from everything that you're dealing with. Pour it out. Pour with that little bit that you have out before the Lord. Give what little you have to God, and then God will pour out his much upon your situation. Or even if you find yourself like the disciples, their whole world was turned upside down. Everything that they thought was going one way didn't turn out the way that they thought it was going to turn out. But as they obeyed the Lord, they were in that upper room. Again, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? The most valuable thing you have is not your car. It's not your house. It's not your job. It's not your natural ability. We are earthen vessels with treasure inside of us. And God wants us, if we will just pour out what we have, God will pour in his much, and we will see the blessing of the Lord in our life in every way. He doesn't just pour in just enough, but according to Ephesians 3, 19, 20, and 21, God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He doesn't just fill your cup up to the rim. He fills it to overflow. Everything God does, it's to bring you increase, and that so that it would spill off onto the tablecloth, onto everybody that is around. God is a God of abundance. He is a God of abundance, and he loves you, and he has so much to pour out. But he wants us to pour out what we have so that he could pour in what he has, and it would overflow from our life, and that we would affect and bless others around us as well. And this is the promise of the Lord. And I'm going to read a scripture out of Habakkuk to sort of end this up. But I want you to understand, this is what God did in so many circumstances throughout the Bible. I could, you know, go in and talk about the woman with a little bit of meal, or Jesus told the disciples, already knowing what he was going to do, when there were so many 5,000 men, not including women and children, and the disciples said, send them away so that they will not faint on the way back. Jesus said, you feed them. And they were blown away by Jesus' statement. But the Lord already knowing what he was going to do. You have to know that today. The Lord wants you, if we will just give our little bit. And then he says, what do you have? All we have is these, you know, few fish and five loaves. All we have is this little bit, Lord. The Lord said, it's enough. It's enough. Don't let the devil lie to you and say what you have isn't enough to do a great work for God. If you will pour out your little bit, if you will give your two fish and five loaves, God will do a miracle, and it will not only bless you, it'll not only fill you to overflow, but it's going to fill and bless everybody else around your life. God doesn't just want to send us. He doesn't, and he said, I'm not sending you alone. He said, I'm going to go with you. I'm empowering you, and he wants us to move forward to bring what's up there. We pray that prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God wants to pour out in this world through our life. And so with that story, when they took those few fish and five loaves and they gave it to the Lord, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples handed it out. And the Bible says everybody ate, not just enough. Not just enough. They didn't just get, there's not enough for everybody. But they ate until they were full, the Bible said. And then when everybody was full and could not possibly eat anymore, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, now go pick up all the remains. And they took 12 baskets full of leftovers. Because God doesn't just, he's not just the God of enough. He's not just the God to meet your need. He's the God to exceed your need, and he's the God of more than enough. And the reason why is because of this. And I want to read this scripture, and then I'm going to close. Out of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 14, hallelujah, God is good. God is good. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory, or the knowledge of the glory of God. And so this is the why, Pastor, are you reading this? Because I want you to understand that you're more than the devil's trying to make you to believe you are. And what you carry, if you are a Christian, and especially if you are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and fire, that oil of the Holy Ghost is not meant just for us to stay just filled ourselves, but to give. Freely you have received, now freely give. Because when you get saved, it's a well. It's a well. You draw with joy. Do you draw from the wells of your salvation? But God doesn't want you just to be a well that you're just drawing from your own, and enjoying your salvation. But he wants, it's going to go from a well to a river. And the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now think about this, that as everybody across the world, every Christian, every believer gets filled with the infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire to the overflow, that oil that as we pour out, he pours in. And that oil, the oil of joy, the oil of the Holy Ghost, the power of God is poured in us and to overflow. Now out of every believer's belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's not just in your neighborhood. That's not just in your church, but that is around the world. And that's what Habakkuk was telling us. He said, in the last days, the world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. As the water fills the sea. And that is a picture of what is going to happen when this revival hits the earth. And I'm telling you, church, God is preparing us. Hallelujah. He's getting us ready to know who we are in him. And you're not just some bystander that that you're just going to sit here waiting until Jesus comes. But God is sending you. And we're moving forward in what God has called us to do. And with the power of God, with the rod of the authority of God that he has placed within our hands, and the oil of God that is flowing out of our life like a river, and that river is going forth, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. I want you to see that with the power of God, and as we pour out and God pours in, and then he pours through us to affect the world that is around us, there's not a devil in hell that can stop this move of God. The revival of God is going to hit the earth like we've never seen before, and we're going to see a greater manifestation of Joel chapter 2, where he said, in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters are going to prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. This is about to hit the earth. And that's why God is getting us ready. He doesn't want you to be a bystander. He doesn't want you to sit there and think that you can only, you just got a little bit of oil and what can I do for God? But God is calling you tonight through this word to pour out your little bit, to give him everything that you got. And when you do that, he said, I'm going to pour in my much and I'm going to use you to be a sign and a wonder according to Isaiah 8:18, to you and your children to be signs and wonders in the earth. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy. He said, my life has been poured out as a drink offering before the Lord, and I've finished my race, and now there is a waiting for me, a crown of life. Oh, sure, no matter, all of you that are watching today, no matter who you are, we all, I think, have an understanding of how short life is. Spend it for God and the things of eternity. Pour your life out. Don't hold anything back. Everything that you got, and I pray that that's my prayer tonight for all of us, is that we come to the realization that we don't have very much longer. We have to work while it's still day, for night is coming when no man can work. And there are people out there that do not know Jesus Christ. There are empty vessels that we need to pour into, because God is a filler and he doesn't want anything left empty. He wants to fill them with himself, but not just to the brim, but to overflow and to pour into them the blessings that he, and the purpose that he has for them in their life. And that's what I just wanted to share this with you tonight, and I pray that it blessed you. And we love you guys so much for tuning in and watching this program with us tonight. And so we want to, if you will, I don't know if you have any questions concerning anything, something that we have talked about tonight, or any questions about the Bible, or if you have a prayer request or anything that you are that's on your mind or on your heart, if you will share that with us. If it's a prayer request, we will pray with you right now, and the Lord will we will come into agreement, and you're going to see God move on your behalf. Thank you, Aunt Brenda. So glad you're doing this. Thank you so much. God is good. And so if there's anything on your heart, doesn't even have to be about the Bible, but something that is concerning you, even in your life, this is the purpose of this program, is that it is interactive. So while you're even commenting, I can see whether or not you're on Facebook or YouTube. We see you real time. And if you have any questions, please let us know. Or any prayer requests, please let us know. And then we are also going to pray the prayer of salvation, that if you are not in relationship with God, I didn't ask you if you were a part of a religion, you were baptized as a baby, I didn't, none of that. But if you know, whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and we want to be able to pray with you. Amen. Amen. No, we're going to pray, Sister Abby, for you right now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Prayer. Sister Abby said she's having anxiety today. So, Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we come into agreement with Sister Abby. Lord, and we thank you that you said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. And the peace of God, there it is. Lord, even as the disciples were in that room and they were anxious because they didn't know what to do, how to get out of their situation, they didn't know, their whole life was turned upside down, you immediately entered into their situation, revealed yourself, showed yourself to them, and said, peace be unto you. Lord, as you, that's not coincidence, Lord. That's not coincidence. And Lord, I ask you to just show yourself right now. Hallelujah. To Sister Abby. And that peace that passes understanding, we just speak that to her right now and upon her situation. I curse anxiety in Jesus' name and command it to go back where it came from. And God, I thank you that you're replacing it now with the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we give you praise and glory for it now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Abby, for allowing us to pray with you. Anybody else, any prayer requests, any questions or anything that you might have, we're glad to share those answer those for you with the help of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you too, Brother Larry. I miss you so much, man. I miss you so much. Hallelujah. We're doing it, just so you know as well, right now we're on every Tuesday at 5:30 Pacific time. 5:30 Pacific time every Tuesday. But in the future, we're going to try to do this every day, or at least Monday through Friday. So be in prayer with that about us for the future. But we really enjoy just this one day that we're starting out. We're starting out slow. We're trying to improve every week so that the sound quality and the picture and all of that is getting better and better every week. And we thank Sister Luisa and Brother Sam. They're doing such a phenomenal job. And this is just incredible. And but if you can share this, and if you would continue to join us on Tuesdays, we would be so thankful for that. Pray for Grandma. She's not doing well. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are God, our healer. And by your stripes, Lord, by your stripes, we were healed, according to Peter and your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you took your stripes. Surely you have carried away all our sicknesses and all our diseases. Not some, all. And we thank you, Lord. And we send your word, and you healed her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching Grandma right now. Strength, you said, Lord, you would give us strength for the number of our days. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for just infusing Grandma with strength right now. We just give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Strengthen her, Lord. Strengthen her, Lord, we pray. Touch and heal her body in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. Thank you, Aunt Brenda, for sharing that. Hallelujah. Quick testimony. I don't know if you know this or not, but my grandmother, I was praying for her, and my mom can tweak this testimony if she has to, but from that I remember my mom sharing with me when I was young, I used to always pray for my grandmother every night, and one night I had prayed for my grandmother's salvation, and my grandmother called my mom the next day saying that she saw in a dream me praying for her to accept Jesus, and did. And so my God loves my grandmother very much, and so do I. So does my Aunt Brenda. That's her mom. And we just we thank God for her. I love you, Grandma, so much. If you are watching this or get a chance to, I love you so much. Anybody else? Any comments? Any questions? We definitely want to interact with you. So while we're waiting, otherwise we're going to wrap it up. We don't want to keep you any longer than you want to be here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Looks like there's not any comments or questions, but we love you. Amen. So we, Brother Larry, Sister Abby, Sister Brenda, all of those that are watching, we love you so much, and we thank you, Brother Joe, all of you guys that are watching now. We love you, and we thank God for you, and we don't take it for granted that you took your time out to watch us tonight, and to encourage us, and just continue to pray with us, and we're praying for you. And if we can serve you in any way, please let us know. 45520 Clinton Street is our church, Church Unlimited in Indio, California, and we are here for you. And if you need anything for us, please let us know, and we will be happy to serve you in any way. All right, God bless you, and thank you again for joining us on Your Limitless Life. This is Pastor James Moffitt, and we are saying, please pray for, amen, amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jenny. God, and all that she is going through now. And God, even for, I believe they're trying to sell their RV. I thank you, Lord, that you're sending the buyer and everything else that's going on against them. God, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for that she is the daughter of the Lord of the Most High. And Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 is her portion. And that's what we're speaking over her life. And God, I thank you for her heart to serve you. And that she has been such a blessing, God, even to my life and to her family's life. And so, God, I bless her in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you're moving mightily on her behalf, that according to Romans 8:28, you're working all things together for her good because she loves you and she's called according to your purpose. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So if there's nothing else, we are going to go ahead and end our program for tonight. So we're so thankful that you joined us, and we say God richly bless you. Good night. And if we don't talk to you sooner or interact with you sooner, we'll see you next Tuesday at 5:30 Pacific time on Your Limitless Life. Be blessed.